Good morning, ladies of No BS. Welcome. Come on in. I am going to try and change my name because I am not Corinne today. I am Coach Lizzie. Welcome. Here we go, Coach Lizzie. Come on in. This is our monthly reset call. Happy Saturday. Happy September, right? Oh, isn't it great that it's September? Football season is happening. We've got kids are back to school. Is that great or what? Oh, please give me a hello in the chat. Tell me where you're joining from. It is still quite warm where I am. I'm in Florida. A little humid. We've had a lot of rain, but hopefully you're getting some fall, cooler temperatures. And this is a open coaching call. This is, like I said, it's our monthly reset call. Happens the first Saturday of every single month. So we're about resetting. If you are looking for a little of a boost, a little bit of a kicking their rear end, I'm your gal. That's what we got for us today. But first, oh, look at that. Everyone's coming in. Lizzie Lou says, hi, Coach Lizzie. Well, I love your name, Lizzie Lou. Well, it's nice to see you too. Everyone's here from all over. This is great. Okay. Before we get started, I wanted to remind you. Oh, by the way, if you would like to get coaching, please go ahead and just raise your hand, hit that raise hand button. This is open coaching. We'll have a conversation. And as we're waiting for folks to raise their hand, I wanted to remind you that tickets for Queen of Your, sorry, virtual tickets for Queen of Your Life Camp, which you team, it is in less than 2 weeks. It starts 2 weeks from yesterday. Wow. Queen of Your Life Camp is upon us, almost here. So virtual tickets are still available. And you may be thinking like, well, that's exciting, but why do I need Queen of My Life Camp or Queen of Your Life Camp? First of all, it's not about Queen's Club. It's not about like, have you lost 25 pounds or not? Not at all. It's about basically owning your dreams, your goals, your voice. So if you are somebody who tends to be a little bit of a people pleaser, this is me for sure, then Queen of Your Life Camp would be great for you. If you're someone who struggles to speak up for your needs, or if you feel like you're kind of constantly putting others first and putting yourself last, maybe you have goals and dreams that you would like to go after, but you're just kind of putting them off, or like someday, or maybe you've been trying at them, but you've been spinning your wheels, then this is totally the camp for you. I mean, frankly, I feel like it's a valuable camp for anybody. But I remember there was a time in my life when my kids were small and I had the story in my head that was like, I'm just a mom. And I literally felt like I was getting dumber every day because I was talking to a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old most of the day. And I really, first of all, I love being a mom, and being a mom is the best thing ever. It is so valuable. But that's what my point is, when I was in that mindset, I was devaluing the importance and the value of me. And that's kind of what Queen of Your Life Camp is about. Like, if you've been devaluing the importance of you, or if you're in a season of life where you feel like you have things that you wish for yourself, but you don't know how to get there or make them happen, then this camp is for you. So, virtual tickets still available? Okay, let's talk about resetting. All righty. If we've got, let me put that, go. So, look at that. We've got some emojis and reactions. Thank you so much. So, if you would like to be coached, you would like to have a conversation with me, that would be amazing. Please raise your hand. So while we're waiting for people to raise their hand to get coached, let's talk about reset. So the other day, I was talking to my friend Mel Robbins, like, that Mel Robbins. And when I say I was talking to Mel, basically she was on her podcast and I was listening, but in my mind we're like basically having a cup of coffee because we're friends. I mean, she even starts all of her podcasts like, hey, it's your friend Mel. So frankly, all we're missing is the coffee, right? But when I was listening slash talking to Mel in my brain, in my imagination, she was talking about how this time of year is actually so awesome and such a great time of year for change, for reset, for getting stuff done. And there's a bunch of reasons why. So first of all, like, January gets a lot of the sort of credit, a lot of the attention for New Year's resolutions, New Year, New You. It gets all the pub, right? But frankly, there's a lot more about September that makes September a great time for change, for reset. So like in January, it's like the weather hasn't changed. The season hasn't changed. The things that you're doing haven't changed. It's just a change in the calendar. Whereas in September, the weather is, there's so many other things that are kind of like naturally creating momentum and change. So you've got the weather is changing, the calendar is changed, kids are going back to school. You know, there's just a lot of sort of natural momentum that you can capitalize at this time of year because it is so prime for kind of personal growth and productivity. Another reason why this is a great time of year is that particularly that's different than other times of year, because if you think about January, like, first of all, you're already exhausted from the holidays. You're probably, you know, not wanting to spend money on things because you've just bought a bunch of gifts for your friends and holidays and so forth. And it's cold and it's dark and you just kind of want to like cuddle up in bed. So January is not necessarily the best time for change. It's really just a calendar switch. And it's not necessarily like there's not a lot in our environment that makes it an ideal time for change. Well, now then there's spring, which is great because there's growth and there's rebirth. But at the same time, there's a lot of like big bursts of energy. But then, you know, you can kind of like you shoot the moon there. And then you're like, whew, I did all my spring cleaning and I'm exhausted. I need a rest. I need a break. And summer is not necessarily great because it's about like, you know, everyone's traveling everywhere. There's vacation. You're kind of chill and so forth. And so you're not necessarily in the mindset of like, this is the time to get stuff done. And so now, as fall is approaching, we've got 4 months left in the year. We've got, as I mentioned, football season, which is the best. We've also got kids going back to school. You've got perhaps a little bit of extra time to devote to you, to get back into routine. This is go time. It is reset central. We ready? Who's ready? Right? Let's get some reset going. So, because, whoops, we got reset time and we've got one person has raised their hand so far. We're going to go ahead and bring Callie up and we'll do some coaching. If you've got questions, type them into the Q&A because it's just me here, y'all. We don't have a moderator. So we'll just kind of have a great time. So good morning, Callie. Am I pronouncing your name right?
Kaylee, actually, but Kaylee. Close.
So good morning. Happy Saturday. How are you doing today?
Good. Good. So this is kind of a perfect time for a call. I had recently, I think it was just yesterday, I went through my last month's data and was noticing a trend that I kind of want to nip in the bud. And need to kind of reorganize how I'm approaching things just because I've had some shifts in my work life and personal life that is just coming with the season, right. As you're talking about. And I've been noticing a couple of weeks of trending where I'm putting other people's needs in front of my own. And so like my workout plans have been taking a back seat. Meal prepping plans have been taking not a full back seat, but it has been kind of diminished where I'm starting to rely on like my emergency plan things where I have a lot of frozen meals that are emergency plans that fit within like a general structure when I need it on the go. But I'm seeing that I'm relying on those a lot more. And I guess I need help kind of refocusing how I can schedule what I need to schedule into my daily life so that I'm hitting my weight loss goals and not letting everything else kind of take over and overwhelm me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, like, I love that you decided to raise your hand, that this is coming at the right time. And anybody, like, whenever someone gets coached, you're helping you, but you're helping someone else because there's someone else who's listening. Who's like, oh my God, Kaylee is she's me. She talks, you know, look at all those hearts, right? Like there's a lot of people that identify with what you're saying. So thank you so much. And I also wanted to just give you a high five for having those emergency plans, those freezer meals already kind of ready for you and helping you in a bit to have as a backup during this time. But let's get to what you were talking about. So things are taking a backseat. How do you get back towards kind of putting your weight loss stuff first? So let's just dig in a little bit. What is getting in the way of you doing some of the actions that help you feel like these are the things that are moving me forward in weight loss?
I think that the biggest thing is work. I have work has had a massive intake in how many hours I need to put in. And as a result, I'm starting my days about 2 hours earlier than I was before, just so I can fit everything into my day.
Wow, yeah.
And that means that I was previously starting my mornings doing an at-home Pilates course. And that has had to go to the wayside because I just don't have enough time to work out, shower, and get ready for the day and get to the office by the time I need to get to the office.
Okay.
And so I am still hitting some of my goals. I'm still hitting all of my walking goals. I'm still hitting all of my water goals in the evenings. I'm still hitting those, but I'm not hitting these extra goals where I have where I want to start off my day in a good mindset, where I want to kind of add on some weight training, which is what I add in with my Pilates stuff. And it sets me up for a better day. And
Right.
I know that, but I also need to get to the office. So I don't know how to like shift things together and make them work.
Yeah. And just real quick, how recent is this shift of like 2 extra hours in the morning at work?
About a month.
Okay.
About a
Okay.
month. And I was working with it for a little bit and it was okay. But then I got information that it's going to continue until probably the end of the year into next year, just
Okay.
because of our demands and staffing. And
Gotcha.
I was like, okay, we can plan for this, but something has to shift.
Right. So, I can totally resonate. Like when I have a whole bunch of stuff on my calendar, I begin to sort of hyperventilate in my brain. I'm like, it's too much. And sometimes I don't know if this is happening for you, but I recognize like for myself, the story I'm telling myself about my calendar can sometimes make it worse than just showing up and doing the work. So there's kind of two things we could address, and you get to decide where we go. One is, what's the story you're telling yourself about these additional hours, and is that creating more stress for you? And then two is just the tactical stuff of like how to help you set up your day so you're having a positive morning.
I think it's more tactical. So the story to myself isn't a big deal. And looking at my calendar, I don't feel overwhelmed with like how I have it stacked and everything that I have planned. But by the end of the day, when I get home, I am in such a brain fog. I cannot make a decision. Like yesterday, for example, I came home at 4. I literally crawled into bed and did not move for the rest of the night. And my fiance was like, "Oh, what do you want to plan to do tonight? Do you want to go out? Do you want?" I'm like, "I literally cannot make a single decision. I'm sitting here and I'm not moving."
Gotcha. Okay. So one thing I'm hearing is the fewer decisions, the better. That might kind of help set you up for success.
Yeah.
Okay. So we could, here's again, like more options, and you get to decide which direction we want to go. We could talk about how to like bulk, make your decisions in bulk. So like, let's say a Saturday or a Sunday, you have a little bit more time. Let's just plan out the week for the meals. Let's plan out like what is my, quick morning quote going to be, or that type of thing. Like make the decisions on a Saturday, and then Monday through Friday is simply about just following through. That's an
Okay.
option we could do, or we could get more detailed and granular into that. Like, okay, you're going to work 2 hours earlier. What is the minimum viable dose of a morning routine that's going to help set up your day? Or we could talk about both.
Could we talk about both? I think I do need a minimum viable dose, but I do think I need to reapproach how I'm handling my weekends, and I need to do more so that my week doesn't feel as chaotic.
Okay. So when we're talking about weekends and sort of bulk batching your decisions, are we talking about what to eat or what activity you're going to do? Tell me more.
I think a little bit of it is what to eat. That's not the biggest problem for me, mainly because I eat the exact same things, just in different quantities based off of how I'm feeling, almost every single day. And that's just another decision fatigue thing, and I find it works for me. And then I circle through the same foods until I get sick of them, and then I replace them with the next thing. But I think it's more planning out what activities I'll be doing for the week and how I will be fitting in personal development time and then also workout time into the days. So that is just planned out, and then I approach it throughout the week.
Super. So, realistically speaking, given your current schedule, what is a realistic, doable ask to ask of yourself in terms of personal development and workout time?
Realistically, I have about an hour and a half of time that I can dedicate towards working out, and about 30 minutes to 45 minutes that I could probably put towards personal development and still meet my like family dynamic needs.
Okay. And when are these times happening? When in during the day?
So typically, I have about an hour, around 5 to 6 that I have time for a workout. If I went to bed on time and got up on time, I could probably fit the extra 30 minutes in the morning. And then the 45 minutes ish for personal development time, I have between like 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. And just confirming that 5 to 6 was AM or PM?
PM.
Okay.
Yeah, because I get up at, well, if I'm hitting my schedule, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I typically go to bed by 9 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. And in terms of the morning, well, we're going to talk in a minute about like how to like that minimum viable dose for the morning, but it sounds like you get up at 4 and you're on your way to work by when?
I am in the office by 6, so I'm
Okay.
leaving the office or leaving the house by 5:30.
Okay. All right. So let's batch some decisions for this coming week, is right? It's September, September and Saturday. So we've got a week coming up. All right. Of the 5 weekdays, how many days would you like to get in some exercise?
Honestly, I would like to get some exercise every day because my office life has me sitting all day, every day. So
Okay.
it's the only movement that I get other than the weekends.
Gotcha. Okay. So here, and for everybody listening, like here is a hack to setting up a kind of a goal that really kind of busts perfectionism and kicks it out the door and helps you have lots of ways to win. So when you're thinking, all right, I want to try and do exercise every day, I want you to set up like a ideal goal and a minimum viable, like I'll still be happy with kind of goal. Because not every day is the same. Not every day goes perfectly. And some days you get home at 4 o'clock and you're like, I just want to lay in bed for the rest of the day. So let's talk about for you want to work out 5 workdays, 5 days this week. Ideally, what would that look like?
Ideally, it would consist of about a 15-minute Pilates course or strength training course interchanged, and then cardio.
And how
And
long
I
for
have
cardio?
the rest of the time that I have, I would like to have at least 30 minutes.
Okay, cool. So ideally, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you're doing Pilates for 15 minutes and at least 30 minutes of cardio, if not a little more. And that's between 5 and 6 in the evening. Okay, awesome. That also could be a big ask on a day when you are tired or honestly that could be a big ask later in the week. You know, as it's Thursday or Friday, you're more tired, you're more fatigued, you're just like, oh, I can't even. So on days like that, when you just want to crawl in bed, what is the minimum amount of movement? And I'm talking like, instead of like setting the bar real high, we're like, put the bar on the floor and step over it. The minimum thing that would help you feel good.
Walk around the block with the dogs.
Love it. Okay. Okay. So now you've got kind of a spectrum of winning that, like, ideally, I'd like to do Pilates for 15 minutes and do 30 minutes of cardio. And between that and walking around the block with the dogs, anything in between is a win, is a success. And so you get to have like lots of ways to win. How's this feel so far?
That'd be fine. Yeah. I think I focused a little bit too much on, oh, I need to hit designated workout time versus a walk, but I can add that in as a minimum level.
Yeah. I want to totally like validate that feeling that, you know, here we are talking and you're like, yeah, great, Coach Lizzie, that sounds great. But like legit, I need to get in my 30 minutes. And I'd love to tell you a quick story. So I was having a conversation with one of my private clients, almost exactly like this. And so we had the high end and low end of her exercise goals. And her low end was like just 5 minutes of turning on a video or what have you. And she, during our conversation, she had her workout clothes on, she had her sneakers on. She's like, I'm gonna go work out after this call and I'm gonna do my high end. And the next time we met, she's like, Lizzie, I did not believe you with the whole low end, high end goal. I was, you know, aiming for my high end, but as soon as we got off the call, mom called, there was this emergency thing, and my day totally got derailed. And I had committed to you, she had committed to me that she would work out, but her day went to hell. And she's like, well, I can at least do 5 minutes. And so she plugged in or whatever, turned on the video, did 5 minutes, and she was like, what do you know? It worked. And so that low end goal is, it's like that just like toe in the door of a way to feel like you're winning, a way to feel like I'm at least doing something. Because when you get to the end of the day and you're super tired and the day just went to hell, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever is a huge ask. But if you can just do a little, sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes you're like, well, I started, so I could do another 10 minutes. Sometimes that's the gateway, the doorway that opens up to more. But like when you allow yourself to feel good and let that little thing be a win, it creates a little bit more consistency and momentum.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. And honestly, I do know, if I think about it logically, I do know the minute that I do like a low end workout, especially if I'm having a day where I don't really want to do a Pilates course, and I choose the like lowest amount of time that they have as an option, I do get into the groove and I'm willing to do another class after the fact. It's just getting there.
100%. And I have that too, for sure. Like there are plenty of days where I'm like, I don't know, I feel like working out. And so on those days, I just tell myself, just do, the day will be so much better if you just do 5 minutes, just do 10 minutes. And like, I do the same thing. Like I have a very minimum bar of success, which is like, I get out there and I do a couple jumping jacks. I'm like, okay, I could probably do more, fine. You know, so anyway, just let you get started. All right, so we've got exercise. Then we've also got you, ideally you're doing 40 minutes of personal development between 7 and 8. So same thing. Let's give us a high end and low end goal. What's ideally that you would be doing?
Ideally, I would be working on at least one of my plans and reading at least 30 pages in a book. I'm a fast reader, so that's actually not that much for me.
Okay.
So that'd be like about a 30-minute time frame to get through for most books. And then on a lower end, I guess I could put it as just listening to a podcast, and I can take in the time that I listen to podcasts. Like I listen to my No BS podcast when I'm driving. I could maybe accept that as, yeah, that's personal development time. It's not just your commute time. Because I think about it as if I'm not sitting down and focusing on a specific thing, it's not really personal development, which I know is wrong. I know that's wrong from a mental point, but emotionally, that's how I feel.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a story you're telling yourself. And
Yeah.
so If we can just sort of open up the lots of ways to win, is that just as you said, like listening to a podcast on the drive can count. Like lots of things get to count as personal development time. So for sure. There's also, I suppose, the option of listening to, upbeat music can count as personal development time. I mean, music is one of the most effective ways of changing your state. So your state is how you feel. And so that can count. But so it sounds like you've got yourself, ideally, I'd be reading for at least 30 minutes or so. But on the low end, the minimum I can do is listen to a podcast either while I'm doing something else or just chilling and so forth. And that will still feel like a win. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for a hack, a tactical skill?
Yes.
All right. If, in the unlikely event that you happen to miss a day, how do you want to talk to yourself on the day after perfect?
Kind of have to be like brush that off and move on. Today is a different day, and you can still hit your goals. And that doesn't mean like one bad day doesn't mean anything.
Right. Okay. And how realistic, how easy does that kind of self-talk feel to you?
Fairly easy. I don't typically beat myself up for not hitting days. I think that comes more at the end of the month if I have a accumulation of missed days, then I'm like, what were you doing? What was going on in your brain? But in the moment, that doesn't really deter me on an average basis.
Okay, great, great. So yeah, I think that it's really useful to think ahead of time. How am I going to talk to myself if I miss a day, if I didn't necessarily do my high end or low end goal? Like I said, one of mine is like, I'll feel so much better after if I just do a little. Another thing that I tend to try is I may not be where I want to be, but I'm making a lot of progress from where I was. And also just self-compassion. I mean, this is a intense time. You've been your regular schedule has changed. A lot is being asked of you. And so that's an opportunity of like if I had a friend who had the same situation as me and she didn't meet her exercise or personal development goals, what would I tell my friend? And you can share that same kind of self-talk towards yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good way to think about it, is talking to somebody else who'd be in the same situation, what advice I'd be giving them.
Yeah. And then finally, let's talk about your morning. What is the minimum viable dose in be between wake up and get in the car that helps you set up your day?
I think a minimum is 5 minutes. What I do is I keep a pad and a pen in the bathroom. So when I'm blow drying my hair, I it doesn't look like it, but I have a lot of hair and it takes like a long time for it to get dry. So when I'm blow drying my hair, I typically scribble down my like daily plan, my meal plan for the day, stuff like that. That's just something that I do. And so maybe I could take an additional 5 minutes when I'm getting ready, where I just sort of mentally kind of set myself up for goals. That's not just like, oh, I'm planning out my day.
Okay.
And I can just take a minute to like be calm versus feeling like I'm always rushing.
Wow. That is impressive multitasking, by the way, like blow drying your hair and
It
your plan.
takes a long time to blow dry, so I'm like literally just standing there waiting for it to dry.
Nice. So while you're drying your hair, you can be making your plan for the day. And also, it sounds like what I think I'm hearing you say is like, you almost want to set an intention. Like, what's my intention for the day? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I meant by like focusing in the morning. I need a minute where I'm not rushing to make sure that the dogs have been fed and are out and have done everything that they need to do. Plus I'm cooking breakfast, plus I'm getting dressed, plus I'm, putting hair and makeup together. And then I'm trying to get out the door at the same time. And when it's a little too chaotic in the morning, and especially if more than myself is up that early, which typically happens, it can be a little bit much. And then I start my day frazzled, and then it just sort of continues.
Okay. So, again, kind of going with our high-low objective, ideally, while you're drying your hair, you're proactively setting your intention for the day. How do I want to, proactively direct my thoughts? Perhaps a minimum could be like the morning was frazzled, didn't go the way I planned. I'm guessing when you drive to work, you're by yourself.
I am. Yep.
So that could be almost a backup plan that if the morning didn't go the way you wanted, you can use your commute to work as like the first 5 minutes are just quiet. And what is the intention I want to set for today as I'm driving to work? That could be your time as well.
Okay.
It's really interesting that you're talking about like setting an intention because and Corinne talks about this a lot, that our brains are kind of problem finding machines. They're wired to like, where's the problem? That's what we're looking for, because that helped kept our ancestors alive back in the savannah. Which over time I began to realize, like, if you're gonna have a positive, proactive thought, you gotta really try. You gotta do it on purpose. And so that's what you're talking about
Yep.
with setting your intention.
Well, and for my job, that's all I do all day is problem solve. So it's an all day figuring out the problem, find a solution, figure out the problem, find a solution. And if I don't set myself to be a little calmer in the morning, it spirals.
I mean, one thing I started doing a couple years ago now that I still do is I put a note in my pocket every day of like, where do I want to direct my thoughts? I have lots of like, I've got a whole stack of note cards now, like the things that I kind of rotate through. And so each day is a little bit different, but like I am purposely proactively directing my thoughts towards this today. I love John Acuff, and one of his is everything is always working out for me, which is so, I love that because it's like, expect it to go great. And if it doesn't, I will choose to make it a win because I'll learn from it.
I like that.
Yeah, cool. Well, great. Kaylee, how do you feel about this so far?
I think I was just setting too high of expectations for myself. So having those minimum baseline requirements is a better way of thinking about things where I still feel like I have accomplished. Because I mean, I've done the walk around the block instead of doing a full workout, and but I guess I wasn't really thinking of that as a win or adding towards my daily plan.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like everything counts. You've got to give yourself as many opportunities to feel like you're making progress, to feel like you're winning, because that feeling is what fuels motivation to keep going. When you feel like, oh, I walked around the block, but that doesn't count, it's just like, your motivation tanks. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you too. I appreciate it. Thank you for raising your hand and let us know how it goes in the Facebook group. How your week goes in terms of high lows, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Okay, so we're gonna put Kaylee back to attendee. If anyone else, we got no hands raised, y'all. If anyone else would like coaching, please raise your hand. In the meantime, we got a couple of things in the Q&A here. So Mandy says, I'm about to jump. Okay. She has a question. Past few days, drank some water, ate when hungry, stopped when full, or just made smaller plates. I'm down 3.5 since Wednesday. Have not written a plan or written down what I've eaten. I haven't tracked any data either. What's the mental shift that happens when I do track all these things and don't lose like this? Does that make sense? Well, Mandy, I understand that you're not able to get on camera right now, but that might be easier for us to have a conversation and go back and forth on it. Ask coaches would be a great place for us to talk through. But basically, it sounds what I'm hearing you say is, I sort of miraculously lost 3 pounds this week. I didn't track anything. I wasn't planning. And how do I reconcile that with the weeks that I do make a plan and I do track things and I don't lose weight? It's a good question. So, first of all, when you have something that goes well, it can be just like a fluke, or if you are tracking, then you can use that as let's deconstruct the success. Like, how do I know? Like, when in my private client coaching, whenever a client has had a good week, I'm like, freeze frame, let's review the week. What were the top two or three things you think you did this week that led to your success? So, Mandy, You may not know exactly what you ate. You may not know, you didn't necessarily track, but if you could freeze frame and just mentally kind of go back over the week, what do you think was different? Obviously having data makes it a lot easier to tell, but still, like, have a almost a what's it what do they call it? After action review, where like, what went well this week? What was different? Was I drinking more water? Was I more active? Was I stopping at enough? Like, you did say that you drank some water and you ate when you're hungry and you stop when you're full. Is that it? You said you had smaller plates. Was that different? So, like, that's what I would do about this week. And then when you said the mental shift that happens when I do track things and don't lose weight, well, again, like, on those weeks when you are tracking things, what are you doing that or not doing that might be leading to maintenance instead of weight loss? Also, there can be a sneaky thing. Again, when I was talking with Kaylee, we talked about what's the story you're telling yourself about your calendar. Sometimes you can ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself about tracking, about I'm doing all the things? Because that can sort of secretly kind of kick you in the rear end because you almost are like, I'm doing all the things, so I should get this result. And when we make the outcome the goal, then we kind of lose track of the actions that will create the outcome that we want. So let's be clear. Weight loss is a result. It is an outcome. It is not an action. And so if you want consistent weight loss, you got to focus on the actions that lead to the result or the outcome that you want. And so make the actions your win. I drank water. Or I drank 64 ounces of water 5 days this week. I stopped at enough, 4 out of 8 meals this week. I'm just blowing out numbers, obviously, probably more than 8 meals. At any rate, you get the idea of, like, what are the actions that lead to the outcome I'm looking for? So be careful of that kind of sneaky story you can tell yourself of, like, I was tracking and I was doing all the things, and how come that scale didn't result in that? Be careful of that story and look at, like, let's look at this as a scientist. What are the actions that lead to the outcome I want? And how can I, pull levers here and there? All right, we got another question from Heather. Is there a worksheet that walks us through high-end and minimum baselines in, like, this conversation? Super helpful. No, but that's a good idea. I appreciate that, Heather. I have a sort of a template that I will share sometimes with clients or in Ask Coaches, which is basically, like, ideally, I would do XYZ, but if life doesn't go to plan, then I would be happy with ABC, which I'm confident I can do on, my worst days. So it's really just, ideally, I'd do X, and on my worst days, I'd still be happy with Z. So that's kind of a quick way to do that. And then Anonymous said, I have a mobility diagnosis. How can I work through being okay with chair exercise and yoga being enough? First of all, I really want to honor what you're going through, that you've had a diagnosis. Things are changing. Change is hard. Our brains are absolutely wired to resist change. And so, first of all, you can kind of honor that this is hard. Allow yourself to feel what you feel. Here's another quick tool that I share with clients sometimes is step one, what am I feeling? Angry, resentful, disappointed, whatever it is, just one word. Step two, I'm allowed to feel resentful. Resentment is allowed to be here right now. And the reason why that step two is so crucial is because so often we're like, I need to fix it. I need to change the feeling. And when you just take 10 seconds to be like, disappointment is allowed to be here. I don't have to change feeling disappointed. For the next 10 seconds, that's all it is. I'm allowed to feel this. That allows that feeling to kind of process through, and then you can move on a lot faster. And then to your question of how can I be okay with chair exercise and yoga being enough, then I would simply ask yourself, like, what does enough mean? Who gets to define what does enough feel like or mean to me? It's absolutely understandable to feel disappointed that you used to be able to do XYZ and now you feel like that is a challenge. And so you can honor that disappointment. And then you can say, what does enough look like for me now with this diagnosis? What does That little bit of like that gets the door open for me so I can feel like I at least did something rather than kind of wallowing in my life is different than I used to be. That is hard, but you make it better by saying I am at least doing something. Okay, so we got a couple of questions. Diane's asking, where do we raise our hand? You go to the react button. Speaking of, we've got a couple of people who have raised their hands. Thank you, Sue. So pulling up Sue. Oh, look at that. We got a couple other people. So I think we got Sue coming up as a panelist. Oh, there we go. Excellent. And we'll do some more coaching. Fantastic.
Hi, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm great, Sue. So glad to see you.
I am so glad to meet you and finally talk to you. This is awesome.
Yes. What a treasure. We've talked a bunch in Ask Coaches, I think. So it's great to finally see you face to face.
Same here. Same here. Okay, I get a little nervous, so I'm going to try to calm down here.
I know what you mean.
At the beginning of July, I had regained my weight, and then I had learned through the process that what was going on with me is inflammation. And then I had lost weight, and I had talked to Corinne, and I was like, okay, I know what this is. Part of it is the separation of holding the urges in my mind, separate. Which I call my Miss Piggy cup. So I've got this little thing over here. I'm like, oh my God, I've been fighting with Miss Piggy all these years. It's unbelievable. But then it's like everything is definitely these dominoes that are hitting one another, that are falling into place. And so this has brought me into understanding that this inflammation that I have. And I was like, okay, and I had cut so many different things out of my way of eating and everything. And then I was feeling great. I had knee surgery, like back in the 2017. I've had terrible problems with it. And I didn't understand it was all this inflammation. So I'm like feeling like this new human being, Then I got COVID. And so then we started feeling swollen and sick and everything else. And then I had take the Paxlovid, and now it's been a couple of weeks since I've had all of that, but I still can tell that I am now inflamed again where I wasn't before,
Okay.
and that the weight was dropping, and then I seen that the weight had gone up a little bit, but then I'm back down. The 8 pounds,
Great.
beginning of July. So, again, as you said, you know what? This is a result. And it's not, what I'm chasing as I once was chasing. It's, what I'm chasing now is a leaner, healthier, my body not inflamed, and then everything else will lead to where I want to go, clothes size and everything else. So what I'm doing right now today, 2 days ago, I would have said I was about a 9 on the scale of inflammation on with my knee being swollen, like I'm feeling like a balloon where it's all stretched out with the water. And then yesterday I was probably about an 8. And today I'm feeling yesterday I had a real sick day. And I'm feeling like maybe a 6 today. So I can tell that the inflammation's coming down from my hands and everything. And in the process now, I guess where I'm going here with this conversation is I have got this book. It's called The Inflammation Spectrum. I'm reading it. I'm listening to it. He's talked about elimination. I'm thinking about what actually I've taken into my body over the years that would cause this. It's not a great big thing because I've been cutting things out, but it's like now. I'm searching for a whole new way of looking at things. I never wanted to plan before. And now I see, oh, this is, I resisted because I felt like I was always eating the same things. But now I'm understanding that the same things that I was eating was making me sick.
Oh, wow.
So that planning now is, it's strange to my brain. This is brand new to my brain.
Okay. And
everything that I'm going to be looking at, because I'm feeling better and I can appreciate how much I'm feeling better. So I don't want the other.
Okay.
You know, it's really different.
So in terms of, you know, here we are on the reset call. You've explained that you sort of are having this discovery of some of the foods you were eating were creating inflammation. Mm-hmm. You had some success, it sounds like, kind of in late July. Then COVID happened. And of course, that's going to mess things up and so forth. So what are you looking to reset, or where do you need some help right now?
I guess what... I guess this is where I'm kind of in limbo, because everything needs to be reset. Okay. I have to change. And actually, I just started thinking and calling it, you know, I'm going back to my ABCs, which to me means applying behavioral change.
Okay.
To all of my foods, to all of everything. So like everything I'm picking up, I'm like Googling it. Does this cause inflammation?
Okay.
Does everything I resisted before are the things that I now have to apply into my body, you know?
When you say everything I resisted before, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. You know, my sister would give me all of these Dr. Mark Harmon books.
And oh, I know him. Okay.
It was like, yeah, no, that's not Nestle's Quick.
Gotcha. Okay. So it, in a way, this almost sounds like, you know, when you're a kid and mom or dad gives you advice and you're like, oh, mom is so stupid. And then you get to be an adult and you're like, whoa, mom kind of knew what she was talking about. Gotcha. Okay.
So now it's really about kind of swiping my arm and clearing so much of the food and everything out of the cabinets, you know, that I don't want to have in my body anymore. I mean, really and truly get rid of the sugar, where not eliminating it, because I know my body can tolerate allose sugar.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, I'm having more cinnamon. And this morning was the first time that I had turmeric milk, you know. To put, I mean, so these are all like new firsts and that kind of stuff, but I'm not sure. And I'm already telling myself, don't try to do this all at once, but I don't know how not to do it extreme, you know, so I can clear out this inflammation.
Sure. So it sounds like you're saying, like, you want the inflammation gone. And so there's a part of your brain that's like, let's do it all clean sweep right now. But perhaps there's also part of your brain that's like, yeah, that sounds like restriction, and we're not sure that's sustainable. Am I hearing that right?
Well, yes, that's exactly. So I'm like wanting to be here, and I've got the two sides fighting itself.
Yeah. So I would definitely encourage you to, you know, Corinne talks about comfort zone. The middle is a discomfort zone, and then there's the scared shitless zone. The doing the all, everything all at once can, you know, land you straight in the scared shitless zone. And then your brain is like, too much change all at once. We're resisting. Let's go back to normal, because normal feels safe. Granted, normal means inflammation. It means not feeling great, but that in your brain is what's safe because it's familiar. So we want you in the discomfort zone, which is like, I'm doing something a little different, but I'm not freaking out. So are you open to a suggestion?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I would encourage you to pick one thing each week that you're just going to kind of experiment with. And that can be something as very specific as like broccoli, or it could be something a little bit more generic like sugar. So I'm not super well versed in what kinds of foods create inflammation or not, but you mentioned you're reading a book and so forth. So you can pick either a specific food or a category of food to experiment with each week. And just sort of like, again, be the scientist, put on your scientist goggles and, you know, be like, I wonder if I reduce this and increase that, how do I feel? What kind of response does it have on my inflammation? If it goes up, that's data. If it goes down, that's data. If it stays the same, that's data. And so I would just encourage you to kind of play with one thing each week. And you don't necessarily have to stack it week by week of like, you know, whatever you try in week one, you're keeping through forever. It's more like you can try something different week two. but you are realizing that like your body is almost like a science experiment and food has a chemical reaction. I mean, specific foods has a chemical reaction of the inflammation. And so you get to get curious about like, if I, you know, have a little less of that and a little more of this, how is that going to change the chemical reaction in my body, which is the inflammation we're talking about? How's that sound?
It sounds right. You know, the thing about being in the program of No BS, I don't want to cry. I don't know. It's because it was like, there's that inner voice and it's been talking to me for years. And I have been denying it for years, you know. And coming into No BS has brought me to the point of finally being able to talk to myself, love myself, hear myself, do these things that have brought me to this point of getting myself well. Mm-hmm. You know, when I had gone to my doctor not too long ago, you know, I said I was on antidepressants for 20 years. And I told him, I says, you know, that was really just a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. And it's because of this program that I've learned so much that keeps bringing me to these little steps through this process. You know, I just turned 67 and I'm like, you know, so grateful. So grateful.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I love how you described that inner voice. And it, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like that inner voice has been saying, I want to love me rather than force me to fit into some mold. It's like, let's love me first and the results will take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just very grateful for this community. And, you know, I know that I finally know I'm smart enough to do this.
Yeah.
And I know that for the first time, I'm really opening up myself to understanding what my body's doing. And I'm just so appreciative to everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can't tell you how many books of yours I bought at Christmas time and I gave out as gifts. You are a miracle.
Well, thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. Back at you. Well, so,
I'll take your advice there and I'll work with it.
Yeah. The last thing I was going to say was just, it really speaks to you and who you are, that you are opening yourself up at age 67 to a new way of looking at who you are. And I mean, that's just such a beautiful, like I'm thinking of caterpillar to butterfly kind of evolution of you are allowing your inner wisdom to guide you and, you know, letting you grow those wings. And that's just beautiful.
I sort of feel like my food and everything right now and I are all in this chrysalis.
Uh-huh.
Figure all of this out, you know. Yeah. So this is definitely a new era for me.
Yeah. Well, and as far as the, you know, week by week, experimenting with just one thing at a time, if you would like to, you know, message me or like, you know, share in the Facebook group, message me and ask coaches, and we can just kind of walk through it week by week. That's always an option for you as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome, Sue. Thank you for raising your hand and we get to see each other finally. Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm looking for the Queen's Camp and it's like, I'm already listening. I listened to the one to Think Like a Queen. I was like, absolutely, Think Like a Queen, Thoughts of a Queen.
Exactly. It's going to be great. So I'm glad you're coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Love you.
Well, love you right back, Sue. I put her back down to attendee just as she said that. So anyway, back at you when you hear that recording. Oh, gosh, that was so good. Listening to yourself, Tricia, I'm going to raise you to panelists and get some coaching. Isn't that just beautiful when you finally listen to that, like that soft whisper of your voice? It's like, I want to matter. What I want matters too. That's so beautiful. And it's never too late, never too late. So hi, Tricia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. And it's, you know, it's funny when you, you sit here and get in these coaching calls, and then you listen to Sue. I was just listening to Sue, and I'm like, oh gosh, she like took the words out of my mouth. It was exactly what I was going to ask about, but a couple other little things. So hopefully I don't take a lot of your time.
Oh, good.
I've been with this program since April 3rd. I'm down about like 14, 15 pounds. I'm happy with that. It's slow, but I love it that I get to eat, you know, the things I like, and I work the plan and do my stuff daily and listen to every minute I can of a podcast or a replay. I constantly do that every day, every minute I get. Of course, my kids have moved out of the house now, so it's just my husband and I. So it really is, I think, a little easier. So I have that advantage. My problem is I do have a lot of inflammation in my leg. So I'm bottom heavy. I've always been bottom heavy, and I have five sisters, and we're kind of all built like that. But my mom was that. So we kind of blame it on being hereditary. I always said to mom, thanks for the cankles. Because we all have like big ankles, and it's like fluid.
Okay.
And I don't know, like, if you know much about, is it the salt I should be cutting back on? Or I sometimes think it's like artificial sweeteners. And I don't know, you know, like I go to an annual every year for, you know, women type thing. And I've had some wonderful doctors, and they've, you know, probably back in 2009, maybe, she said, have you ever thought about having your veins stripped? And I said, yeah, because they, you know, they're big. They bulge out of, like, you can see it if you have thin pants on and everything. I hate that. But so I did, I went through the process, and that helped tremendously. Like I had them totally taken out, not just like collapsed. And I guess I thought, good, maybe my ankles won't be so big. But, you know, I know that from just always, if I can elevate my legs, then they're better. So, you know, if I get a good 7-8 hours of sleep when I wake up in the morning, they're awesome. Like you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And then by noon, I have these great big ankles.
Okay.
God, I hate that. And my thighs are big too. But when you lose weight, does it always come off your smallest parts?
Feels like it, right?
Feel like. Like, come on, come off these legs, would you? You know, I always feel like that. I'm like, why does your weight loss always come off your smallest parts? Because like my waist and my chest area is smaller, but my, you know, it's like, it's, and I can't say it hasn't come off. I don't know, like when you lose a pound, does it come off equally or evenly? Because I have measurements from when I first started, and I've measured, you know, about a month in, and I've measured like a month ago. So, you know, having only 3 or 4 months with no BS, I've been kind of tracking that type of stuff. And I do feel that, you know, some has come off my like hips and area, but not that I wished it was more off of there than my waist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what's holding my fluid, like if it's the salt or, you know, I read all kinds of stuff on artificial sweeteners. I don't know what your take is on that, but like diet pops, you know, I always hear aspartame. That's the worst. That's the worst. Well, I got away from a lot of pop, and I always hear the best ones is like monk fruit sweetener. And so you can buy monk fruit sweetener, and like I'm one that will take to work. Let's say I buy like a frozen bag of strawberries, blueberries, raspberries together, you know, it's like that. And then I put them in a bowl, divide it out into 3 servings, and I eat and be like, I love eating that stuff. Like I love berries. I'm a fruit, like I'm the biggest watermelon eater in the world. My husband and I like to salt my watermelon, and I'm trying to cut, that's how I can healthify my watermelon.
Okay.
But when I put a sweetener on like berries, I use stevia because I read that was good. Now it's like monk fruit. I'm like, I don't know if that's what's retaining fluid for me or what, but I wish I could find a better choice.
Well, so there was a couple different questions in there. So I'm going to address a couple at the same time. So, you know, when you lose weight, do you lose weight all over? And the answer is each person's body is unique. No two bodies are exactly the same. Like even identical twins have slight differences. And so there is no like blanket answer of like, yes, you lose it everywhere. Like some bodies, just as you said, like are more prone to hold weight in the lower body or in your breasts or your arms or what have you. So your body is unique. And just like when I was talking with Sue, is you can be the scientist that is collecting data and getting curious about the experiment, the science experiment that is happening in your body. So then more specifically, salt, sugar, et cetera. Again, your body is unique. Your body may have, allergies or reactions to certain kinds of foods that may not apply to every single person, whether, you know, it's sugar or gluten, flour, dairy, et cetera. So get curious about that. What specific kinds of foods might create, you know, more swelling, less swelling for your legs and ankles. In general, I can say what I have learned about this body that I get to live in is two things in particular will create more swelling, and it is salt, so sodium is surprisingly in tons of things. Like you talk about like salt in your watermelon, that's the obvious salt, but like a slice of bread has like 400 grams of sodium. And it's like, I was shocked to see that. So just sort of being aware of like what kinds of things are saltier than others. That doesn't mean to say like never have it. It's just like, just be curious. And then again, things that I've noticed for myself is foods that have flour. So my very rough analogy is, imagine you put a bowl of water on your kitchen counter, and whatever food you're going to eat, if you put it in the bowl of water, what would it do in the bowl of water? So like an apple or a piece of broccoli is basically going to stay the same. Whereas a piece of bread, a cracker, a pretzel, rice or pasta, granted, it need to be warm water, but like they're going to change their composition. They're going to soak up that water like a sponge. That's what happens in my body. So if I eat bread, pretzels, whatever, I know that the scale is going to be up a little bit tomorrow just because it's just sucked up that water. So for you, I would just encourage you to get curious about like, okay, you mentioned sweeteners and so forth. Have some aspartame. Then notice, how do I feel the next day? Have some stevia, have some monk fruit. Is there any difference? Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Still useful to know for your specific body. And then the last thing I would say is, and Mary Pat wrote it in the chat, is that, and I use this sometimes too, is by the afternoon, if I notice my ankles and feet are swelling, compression socks, like in the evening, you mentioned elevation, compression socks can be great as well to just sort of tighten things up a little bit and move that fluid elsewhere. And if you're retaining a lot of water, actually drinking more water can help your body kind of flush it out. So those are just some high level tips. What are your thoughts on that so far?
Good. I really liked your analogy of like taking a bowl of flour and soak it up. So my husband and I, like 3-4 years ago, were doing keto and we did lose some weight. Of course, we put it back on, but we kind of got away from a lot of flour stuff anyway. Like we buy a certain bread that's kind of like a keto friendly bread that's just lower in carbs and flour. And, you know, we tried like everything out in the market. We even ordered stuff online and, you know, it's expensive bread, but there's just a one we found that we just keep eating because we feel better with it. So I've kind of done a few things on that. Okay. You know, and I don't really think I'm like super bad eater. Like I eat lots of vegetables and that kind of thing. And two, maybe it's just because we inherited like bad blood flow in our legs, I guess is what I should say. And, you know, I've even seen where like people lay on the floor and put their legs straight up in the air up against a wall. Like you put your butt next to the wall and straight up. Mm-hmm. And so I've been trying to do that. I mean, I started back to work at school. So my schedule is kind of really it's 8 less hours a day that I have for myself, you know, that I was doing in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. But when I get home, I tried to like in my mind think, okay, let's just go home, put my legs straight up, because I can go to, you know, like if I would wear a pair of capris to school or something, that's the thing. I hardly wear that stuff anymore because it bothers me so bad. But one gal told me at school, another teacher says, I can't believe you're not on a water pill for that. Well, I don't know. What does a water pill do? Will that help? Or is it because you need more water? Is that why you'd go on a water pill? I don't know. I don't go to a doctor hardly much unless it's my annual or a mammogram or something. So I don't know if a water pill would help that or not.
Well, I mean, that could, if this is something that is, impacting how you dress, impacting your day, that, you know, by the end of the day, you're really uncomfortable, it might be worth, you know, making an appointment with a GP or your annual and so forth. That just, you know, it may not be a huge deal, but it's something that's impacting you. And just like we were talking with Sue, like, you're, what you want matters. And being able to wear the clothes you want matters. Being able to, like, not hate your ankles matters. And so it matters enough to perhaps have a conversation with a physician that might be able to do a blood panel or something unique to you, and have a little bit that, you know, the doctor might have a little bit more of a professional informed advice to give you on a water pill compared to your colleague, you know. So it might be worth just investigating that for your sake, because you're worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I do, I have like a 20 ounce cup, and I try to, like, you know, I get one down before I leave for school while I'm multitasking, you know, doing my hair and doing everything. And then I, once I get to school, I take one out of the fridge right away, because I'm not one to drink cold water. Mm-hmm. I have sensitive teeth, so I got to have it room temperature. And then I drink that one before I get lunch. And then I have found, and I've posted this on, I'm having one now, but like these Baya drinks. Okay. So that's like monk fruit is the sweetener in it. And I do like them. And so I kind of stock up on those, and I get one of those after I get my first two 20 ounces of water in. So there's 40, you know, and then I drink monk fruit, and then I'll go back to my water for the day. And so I'm at least 64 ounces. I mean, a lot of days it's like 80 to 90 ounces of water at least. Cause I'll take a smaller cup and take a few vitamins with that and chug that water too. So, you know, I mean, it's not that I'm not getting my water in. I just don't think it helps, but I was just wondering if there's any better, healthier things I can do that would help with inflammation and kind of, I don't know, with my
life. So I would say two action steps. Consider perhaps, you know, making an appointment with a doctor to have a professional conversation about it. You know, maybe there are foods that create inflammation in your specific body. But the second thing, again, is like, just be the scientist about yourself. Like, for example, we and our family usually have like burgers every Friday night. It's like our family thing. And my husband and I have a turkey burger, and I would notice every Saturday morning, the scale would be up, and I didn't have a bun, but it just helped me realize that, like, oh, this pre-made burger happens to have a lot of salt in it. So every Saturday I'm expecting the scale to be up because I had something salty the night before. I now know that this particular food has that response in my body. And so it's that kind of thing of like, what did I eat yesterday and what could be contributing to some extra inflammation? Just be curious.
Yeah. So that's one thing I wish I could, you know, how they say, if you could get rid of one part, you cut me in half from waist down. Put new legs on. I've heard Corinne say too about her legs that she said if she could have anything different, it'd be legs.
Yeah. Well, and so, there's a lot that your legs do for you. You know, they get you from place to place, and they may not be perfect. They may not be exactly the way you look, but they're not all bad.
Well, and even exercise stuff, I focus on my legs. I hardly do a whole lot with my top, but I do some arm weights, but I do leg lifts and just extra things just to work on my legs. But it's just like, wow, what can, you know, why is it that when you lose weight, like it always comes off your thinner part, not your heavier part.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just my thinking. Maybe it's just my imagination. Cause I can't say I haven't, because I notice inches coming off of the hip area. So it's not that it hasn't, but you know.
Well, here's a high level question to just consider. Is 20 years from now, whatever, 40 years from now, one day when you're looking back on your life, will you be glad that you spent all this time not liking your legs? And if you wouldn't be glad about that, what would you rather do instead in terms of thinking about your legs? What's the best use of your mental time and energy?
So you're asking, if I didn't think about my legs, what else would I do to?
It's like on your deathbed and you're looking back, you're like, wow, I spent years just wishing I had different legs, wishing I could have a different set of sticks that keep me, you know, move me around on this earth. And that was a lot of energy and a lot of time spent on wishing something was different. I wish instead I had spent my mental energy thinking about XYZ.
I would say probably wish I would have spent more time just doing things with my family. Yeah, you know, when you're on your deathbed, you you always think back, oh, I wish I would have done more. You know, I went through that. That's actually part of why I turned to do more things for myself. And I found no BS is, you know, my last one left for college. Mm-hmm. And the last 2 years of it, I kind of run a small home business of embroidery too. And I quit that the last 2 years because I wanted to spend more time with them. It's like, life's too short. You know, you want to just do the things that really matter. So now that's all I think about. But I visually see my legs all the time. That's the thing. I see it.
You know? So here's one thing that I very proactively worked on when I was, you know, really working on my relationship with my body and weight loss and shifting from a dieter to a normal eater, shifting from a person who was unhappy with her body to a person who had made peace with her body, was I would think about each body part and particularly the body parts that I was not happy with. And I would say, okay, what am I grateful for about this body part? My legs. They may not look the way I want, but they get me where I want to go. I would really miss them if they didn't work. My feet. If my foot was broken, wow, I would really appreciate that. And like, I would just focus on the things that I appreciate about what that body part does do. And then I would, you know, I would close my eyes and meditate. Like, this is for a solid year. I would do this proactively of like, I would spend 10 to 20 minutes just thinking about each part of my body outside and inside, like my arms. I love my arms because I get to hug my kids. I love my eyes because I get to see my husband smile. I love my ears because I can hear the wind through the trees. You know, all the things that we don't see when we look in the mirror and we're like, ugh, you know, my hips are so huge. It's like, no, there is so much gorgeousness that your body brings you, that it is the vehicle for every experience in this life. And it doesn't deny the fact that your legs are not the way you wish they were, but there is a whole lot about your body that is working, that is amazing, that you can say, yeah, my legs aren't what that I'd love them to be, but here's where I can focus my attention and appreciate things about what is.
Yeah. And you know, I should look at that way, because I do work with you know, like kids in special needs at school, and sometimes, and I think it's just because they're kids, they, you know, you think of a kid that is having a fit about not winning a game. You're like, hey, look over here. I got a child in a wheelchair, you know, that can't even get up to walk to kick the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know it's hard for them to imagine that, but yes. And going back a little bit too, I have an aunt. And so with our big legs, it's kind of a thing, you know, all my aunts look the same like we do. And she was very ill and she had a organ replacement. I think it was lung. And she outlived like 8 years after her thing. And when she passed away, she was at one of our reunions and I saw her and I'm like, oh my God, I never thought anybody in our family could ever have that small legs, but she had gotten so sick and so thin, like down to bones. It was like the last time we saw her, but I'm like, okay, I guess I'm okay with my legs. I mean, she was very, very sick. And she had legs like I did. And I think it was just that, you know, her health dwindled her down to nothing, but you know, that was the version I saw of us with thin legs, but I don't want to be that with her being sick, but I never thought any of us could get rid of the fluid in our legs. It's just something we all have, both on my mom and my dad's side. It's kind of odd that, but I hate that part of my, but.
Well, thank you for raising your hand, Tricia, and sign up for a conversation. And
yes, well, thank you. I'll try some things and see if that's, you know, makes a difference and, you know, that type of thing. Like myself. So, all right. Thanks, Lizzie. And thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Tricia. All right. Yep. Have a good day.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. So everybody, thank you so much for coming on our call today. We went a little long, but I wanted to make sure we got through everyone's questions and so forth. So thank you so much just for honoring yourself. Like, I feel like that's kind of a theme that we've had today of like listening to that little whisper inside that's like, but I matter. And my body is not perfect, but there's a lot that is right about it. And there's a that you deserve the gift of giving yourself the chance to feel good. And sometimes it can be something external to yourself, but a lot of times it comes from within, that like happiness is an inside job. The story we tell ourselves is an inside job, that you get to choose that you're worth it, that you're worthy. You get to be the scientist that gets curious and collecting data about the science experiment of your body. And it's not like you and your body are in this battle of like, I just need to mold it into something new. It's that you and your body are partners in this life. Like, you and your body, you're going to be together a long time. And how can you be partners? How can you be friends even with your body? Like, let's work together on how to make the most of this ride on life. Getting all philosophical here on a Saturday. And now it's time for football. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for joining me. You're the best. So much love. Talk to you soon. Bye.